Once again, we are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Then Rocket can. All right, starting hour number two. I've got Shane Beamer coming up at 10:20. That's Pacific time, so 20 minutes from Mark. South Carolina head football coach. They had an enormous win over Tennessee. So he joins us. They've got Clemson coming up this weekend. Shane Beamer coming up in 20 minutes. We just had Jim Trotter breaking down the NFL weekend. I want to get to the Broncos and the Raiders, what I referred to as the NFL equivalent of the jungle hack-off, the worst of the worst knocking heads. And that game went pretty much the way you thought that it would. We'll get to that momentarily. Meantime, hit me up. It's a short week. I mentioned this in hour number one. Let me mention it once again right now. I'm going to work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We have a best of show on Thanksgiving Thursday. Brian Weber comes in on Friday. So I've got a lot to get done between now and Wednesday. If there's something you want to say, you best say it right now. 1-800-636-8686. Also, it is a World Cup day. England already put it to Iran. Yes, I'm talking soccer again. Team USA going to get underway in an hour.
It's the World Cup.
It's the World Cup, bro.
It's the World Cup.
I love it. I'm not going to lie. Greg Berhalter is my guy. We've got a relationship. We are friends. Our kids play Little League ball together. I know him. I love the guy. Respect the guy. And I know he's not everybody's cup of tea. Let's wait and see, all right? Really young team. Great expectations. I understand they've got their work cut out for them. And I understand exactly what this game means against Wales. A hell of a lot. Lose this game and you're already in a bleep ton of trouble. Win the game and all of a sudden we're pretty excited. Get a draw, it's not the end of the world. But you best at least get a draw. Can't lose that game. So that game gets underway in a little less than an hour right now. And yes, I will be monitoring that very closely. In fact, I'm thinking about asking the bosses if I could take the last hour off so I could just watch World Cup soccer. U.S. men's national team in action against Wales. All right, so once again, 1-800-636-8686. You can hit me up on Twitter and social media at Jim Rome. You can email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. And because it's a short week, really quickly, we got to move everything up, right? So then, Tommy, can we do a beef day on Wednesday? Okay, we'll do that. Jim Rome's Big Head Bets has got to move up a day. So that means we'll do that on Wednesday. You got that, Head. He and I both had winning weekends, so we're feeling better about ourselves. How you playing tonight's game, by the way? Mexico City, technically a home game for the Cards, but not really. Kyler Murray may not go, which is why you're seeing a spread of plus 10. Colt McCoy's played pretty well. How you playing that one? I tried to hit the Head up for his pick earlier, and he's like, let you know later, boss. He never, ever, ever hits early, except unless he sees incredible value. So, Raider fan, let me talk to you for a minute. Shane Beamer coming up next segment. Raider fan, like, right when you thought you hit rock bottom, look at you now. I'm telling you, life in the silver and black is not all that bad. In fact, pretty damn good right now. It turns out, you did not bottom out after losing to a high school coach last week. And as bad as that was, and as horribly as this season has gone, it could still get worse. It could be worse. How? By losing to a team that is just as, if not more disappointing than even you, the Broncos. That's it. Broncos v. Raiders. That was, in fact, the NFL version of the jungle hack-off, where the worst of the worst get after it on the big stage. And lucky for you, Raider fan, the Broncos found a way to clutch the hell down, to man the hell down and implode yet again. Listen, I admit it. I try not to get sucked into this. I'm actually proud of myself, is I'm not one of those overreaction, hot take Monday guys, because we live in a world that's extremely impatient, overreacts to everything. Nobody gives anybody any time to build anything the right way. Having said all that, I feel like the Broncos probably could have been justified in pulling the plug on the Hack It experience week one in Seattle. That's how bad that was. I mean, like, when they say one and done, they don't mean one season. They mean one game. Because not only is this not getting any better, Bronco fan, it's actually getting worse 11 weeks in. Then again, it's not like I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. I mean, it hasn't been like this in Denver since the Josh McDaniel days. I mean, just the vibe of that fan base, the vibe, the energy, the whole thing, it's just terrible. And it's not your fault. I understand. I understand because you know ball, and you know how poorly coached your team is, Bronco fan. You know how ill-prepared they are every single time they take the field, Bronco fan. So this guy's firing, to me, is not a question of if, but it's a matter of when, since there is no way you bring him back next season. How could you? Somebody has to pay for the horrible season the Broncos are having, and it's not going to be for the horrible play of Captain Cringe, because they're stuck with him now. You can't fire the quarterback that you gave up so much to get and then guaranteed him so much jack on top of that. You can't fire that guy, at least not yet, but you can whack the coach. I'm not here to get anybody fired. I'm not here to take food off somebody's table. I'm not here to take money out of anybody's pocket. I want to be very clear about that. I'm not here to get anybody fired. However, this guy's not doing anything to keep his job. The Raiders, at least, live to fight an additional day, live to fight an additional week. At least they bought themselves a little bit of breathing room. But it should have been the Broncos who did so. It's like the Broncos, I mean, they had it. It's like the Broncos had the Raiders back. Rear naked choke in. And yet somehow, someway, Commander Cringe and Coach Hack It's coaching staff found the only way possible to slide over the top and then somehow choke themselves out. I mean, get this. The Broncos are up 16-13, 2 minutes to go. They're facing a 3rd and 10. The Raiders have no timeouts. They can't stop the clock. A first down there ends the game. Except Cringe went cringe. He did the one thing that he could not do. How this guy makes this mistake, I will never know. He did the one thing he couldn't do. He threw an incomplete pass where he wasn't even close to his target. It damn near looked like he threw it away intentionally. How does that guy, that vet, that potential Hall of Famer, how does that guy make that bad of a decision at that point in the game? I mean, dude, take the sack. Spin the clock. How does Captain Cringe not know that? Not do that. I can't emphasize that enough. That guy cannot make that mistake. I mean, I swear, somewhere Richard Sherman was yelling, "God dang it, run the dang ball."
But God dang it, run the dang ball.
I mean, God dang it, run the dang ball.
But God dang it, run the dang ball.
Take the dang sack. Fall the dang down. Spin the clock. Keep the clock spinning. The clock. Anything but what Cringe did. Because then they punt. Then they give the Raiders the ball back with way more time than they should have had. Way more time than they would have had had the Cringe just taken the sack. Because, again, the Raiders couldn't stop the clock. And, of course, it's not just the offense. The entire team implodes under Coach Hack It. Next thing you know, there's a complete breakdown in coverage, and Josh Jacobs gets a 43-yard pass in the final minute that sets up that field goal to tie the game and send it to OT. And then, in OT, another can't hack it blunder in coverage. And the Raiders walk it off when this happens.
Carr sets in the pocket, floats a ball, wide open, Devontae Adams. This game is over. Adams into the south end zone, touchdown Raiders. Bronco players, defensive players, laying down on the field, distraught with what has just happened. And you know what? I completely get it.
Devastating loss for this football team.
You think? Broncos radio, find me a more despondent human being anywhere than that guy calling the action. I was as close to Davante Adams as any Bronco defender was. Well, I don't know. Let's just lose track of Davante Adams in OT. Let's not have anybody within 50 yards of Davante Adams.
Laying down on the field, distraught with what has just happened.
No, I think laying down during the play. I think laying down. I don't think they lined up at the line of scrimmage. I think they just laid down. Go ahead, Davante. Just run free. So two blown coverages on two critical plays, the most hack it bleep ever. And make that two consecutive weeks, Raider fan, that somebody was crying after you played. Last week, it was Derek Carr getting emotional. This time, it was the entire Mile High City crying after watching another week of this Hackett Captain Cringe combo. Hey, Bronco fans, say what you want about Josh McDaniels, but you can't say that he doesn't own his old organization, yo. That's now two for him on the season in beating your ass. And as much as you dislike the guy, do you really like Hackett anymore? Find me one coach anywhere, not named Pervin Liar, that has worn out his welcome faster with a fan base than Hackett has in Denver.
That's devastating.
They just don't hate his guts the way people hate Pervin Liar, because Hackett's not that bad of a guy. You know, he's not going around buddy needing a night out. He's not abandoning the team on a flight. He's not kicking his kicker who's stretching. In fact, I don't even think he's a bad guy. He's just a really, really bad head coach. And really, really in over his head. Well, to be fair, it's Hackett and Captain Cringe. Because Denver fans seems to be done with high knees as well. I mean, Hackett, I got to be honest. Hackett's one of the better dudes. He's one of the worst head coaches, but he's a great dude. Like, he's a really good dude. You want him around, you just don't want him being the guy leading from the front. But it seems like the fan base is also already over Heinies, Captain Cringe. But as I mentioned, they're stuck with him. Done with him, but stuck with him. They're 3-7. And check these numbers out. You want to take something for data. They're 3-7. They have scored the fewest points in the NFL. They were so bad that Hackett even gave up play-calling duties to Clint Kubiak yesterday. Why do you bring this guy in? He's an offensive genius. Already gave up play-calling duties to Clint Kubiak. And remember, this is after he pretty much gave up coaching duties after the second game of the year when the team hired a coach to coach his ass with game day decisions. I mean, how embarrassing is the whole thing? And Cringe. My dude, you're lucky that you signed that $250 million deal on the eve of the season and the team mortgaged the house for you.
We got it.
Because
deal.
You're impossible to move on from, at least right now. And you haven't been any better than Hackett. This alleged Super Bowl caliber offense is actually scoring 5 less points a game with Captain Cringe under center than it did with Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock a year ago. If you can believe that. They gave up multiple firsts, multiple seconds, a few good players to score 5 points a game less. And they have failed to score 18 or more 8 different times this season. So clearly, multiple draft picks and players and a quarter of a bill do not buy what they used to. In fact, they don't buy you anything at all. It looks like they just threw all those picks and all that cash into a trash can and lit it on fire, because that's what this is, a literal dumpster fire. Hate to say it, Cringe, and I don't want to go there, but you're as bad as those Subway commercials that were pulled off the air. And Bronco fans are as fed up with you and your positive spin to the garbage product that you've been putting on film on the weekly. Cringe. I get that your line has not been doing its job, because nobody outside the defense has for the most part. But make no mistake, 11 games into your run, Bronco country is asking off the ride, dude.
Broncos country, let's ride.
How hard do you think the bubblegum murderer is laughing his ass off on his off week watching Bridge help him and his organization out even more. Not only do they look better and better and better because of that trade, that draft pick gets better and better because of that trade. Right now, that pick that they have is all the way up to number 5 overall. Biggest fleece job ever. I guess what I'm saying, Bronco Country, is this. It's not time to ride. It's time to, all together now, time to die! Because your 2022 season already has. I've got more thoughts on that, believe it or not. I'm not even done there. But when we come back, Shane Beamer joins us. Clones. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is the place to go in betting on the NFL this holiday season. And new customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. Plus, everybody can earn up to a 100% boost with DraftKings Stepped Up Same Game Parlays. Download the DraftKings Stepped Up Same Game Parlays. Do it. Actually, download the Sportsbook app and then take advantage of those same game parlays. Use the code ROME, R-O-M-E. Place a $5 bet on any NFL team to win their game and then get $150 in free bets if they do. That's code ROME, R-O-M-E, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You do have to be present in state where lawful to wager. 21 or older in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Bonus issued as free bets. One boost per eligible game. Opt-in required. 10-plus legally required for 100% boost. Deposit, parlay, and wagering restrictions do apply. Eligibility and terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/football terms. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. A tremendous Monday to you. All right, as promised. Generally, I would not bring a coach back this quickly. But generally, a coach does not have a team do what his team just did. We are joined right now by the head football coach at South Carolina, and what they just did was beat the fifth-ranked Tennessee Vols 63-38 this past weekend. They're 7-4 overall. They've got another enormous challenge and opportunity coming up on Saturday when they take on Clemson. The head coach is Shane Beamer. Shane, it's great to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. I appreciate you having me back.
Shane, great to have you back. So you had the very best seat in the house for one of the most impressive performances of the season. Knowing how hard your group has worked and how you feel about this particular group, what was it like for you to see your team take it to the fifth-ranked team in the country the way they did Saturday night?
It was awesome. It was an awesome environment in our stadium Saturday night, and just really happy for our players, really happy for our seniors. They prepared well during the week, had a great week of practice. They worked their butt off, and we had not performed well, to say the least, the week before. And they just, you know, like they always do, they came right back to work the following week. And we had great confidence going into the game. So to be able to just perform as well as we did in all three phases and have that kind of night was really, really rewarding, but really, 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 really made me happy for our players.
So, Shane, you answered my next question in part, but just to kind of drill down on this, what was your message to your team in the days leading up to that game, and what was the mindset when you hit the field?
It was, honestly, we've got a good football team, and making sure they understood that. And we didn't look like it against Florida, and there's different reasons for that. And, you know, we went back the day after the Florida game and met with the team like we always do and talked about the good from the night before, the bad, and we weren't as terrible as what we looked. And, you know, not that we're an NFL team, Jim, but I talked about how if you look at the last few Super Bowl winners, they went through bad stretches and had a bad game or two or three in November. You know, last year the Rams, they got drilled by the 49ers in November and lost, I think, three games in a row. The Bucks, when they won it in mid-November, they got hammered by the Saints like 38-3. And then they just responded, and then they came back, and they won the Super Bowl. The Chiefs had, I think, a three-game losing streak maybe the year they won the Super Bowl. So just talking about the fact that we're a good football team that had a bad night, but it doesn't define this football team. What's going to define this football team is how we respond and how we play down the stretch. And we got a great opportunity starting, you know, last week at the time and now this week as well. And our guys knew we had a good team and were very motivated to play, and it showed.
South Carolina head football coach Shane Beamer joining us. It absolutely did. I'm going to ask you about Clemson, of course, in a moment. Shane, you talked about what you said and what your message was in the days leading up to that game. I'm curious, there was a team meeting the night before the game. Some of the seniors got up and they spoke. How powerful was that, and what were some of their messages?
It was really cool. You know, we have time. It's not really football related. It's every Friday night. We just kind of get together as a team and just kind of hang out and talk and do different things. And Saturday night, it was one of those, kind of one of the themes or mantras last week was let's ride. And the message was anybody that wanted to get up and talk, you know, all right, it's time to ride. Where are you taking us? So Spencer Rattler got up. Where are you taking us, Spencer? What are you going to do tomorrow on this ride? And a couple of the seniors did speak about how, you know, it's their last time in the stadium, and they came back to South Carolina this season for their final year some of them didn't have to. And they talked about how they came back for games like the Tennessee game in that stadium against the nationally ranked opponent. And one of them actually said, he's like, man, I had a dream earlier this week where, you know, they were tearing down the goalpost and storming the field, and how awesome it's going to be tomorrow night when it happened. And, you know, we didn't have a ton of guys speak. It was probably five or six guys, but it was pretty powerful what they said, and was a cool moment as a team for sure.
Shane Beamer is joining us. You mentioned Spencer Rattler. He was incredible. 30 of 37, 438 yards, 6 TDs. Have you ever been around a QB more locked in or in more of a zone than he was on Saturday?
I don't think so, and I've been around some great ones, whether it be Michael Vick when I was in college or at Oklahoma with Kyler Murray and Jalen Hurts, and I've seen some great performances, but Spencer was lights out on Saturday night, and knew he was good when I was watching it live, but then going back and just watching the video the next day after the game, he was even better, and it was just – it was the throws you saw, but the way he stepped up in the pocket and the way that he just played with confidence and got rid of the ball where it needed to go at the right time. And even on, like, you know, some of the scrambles where it could have been throwaways with 90% of the quarterbacks in the country, he's able to, you know, make something happen and hit a receiver on the run where only that receiver can make the play. He did great. It's because he prepares that way during the week. He works his butt off, and was happy to see him have that success. And now we're going to need him to do it again on Saturday against a really, really good defense.
No doubt. You said something, Shane, after Saturday's win to the reporters, quote, this game and the next one could change the narrative of this program forever, end of quote. Like, for instance, what was the narrative of the program going into this past Saturday's game? And then what could it be coming out of next Saturday's game at Clemson?
Yeah, you know, and it kind of goes back to after the Florida game, and I talked about the next two games, and I told our players that, frankly, you know, these next two games, you have a chance to change the image, the perception, the trajectory, everything in this program with the opportunity you have in front of us. And, you know, they took a great step last week, and you know, you talk about coaches say, well, they block out the noise and they don't listen to stuff, and it's true to a certain degree, but I've got as a head coach, to me, I got to be aware, we only have our players in here for 4 hours a day. That's all the NCAA allows us, so there's 20 hours a day where our players are outside this building, and if I don't think they're on social media and listening and hearing stuff on the radio, then I'm crazy. So I want to be aware of what they're hearing. And I know last week when you have a performance like we did against Florida, that, you know, people want to question everything, and they have that right with the way that we performed, and I knew that our guys were hearing that, and that was why the message was so critical last week, that, you know, here's reality. And we thought, and people I'm sure thought, well, you know, South Carolina hit the high mark of the season by beating Kentucky and Texas A&M in back-to-back weeks, but now they're coming back down to reality. And I told our team that the outside, they don't get to write the story about this year's team like we do, and we will determine how this story, this movie ends. You know, our guys certainly prepared that way, and they were very excited to play last Saturday night. And now the challenge will be to to get them right back up and get them ready to do it again at an even higher level, hopefully.
Brad, I was going to say, I mean, they're at that level, and it's a night that nobody will ever, ever forget, and then you got to come right back, run it back, and do it again. That's the challenge. Final thought then, I mean, there's a reason that Clemson, Shane, has won 40 straight at home. In fact, there are a lot of reasons why they've won 40 straight at home. As you've seen them this year and you look at the film right now, what kind of thoughts do you have about Clemson and taking your group into what's sure to be a hostile environment?
Yeah, ton of respect for what they do. I mean, it's just another already 10-win season for them with an opportunity to get, you know, 11 if they were, you know, depending on what happened Saturday. And then they got the ACC championship game and the opportunity to win another championship. And I know they're still in the mix for the playoff and all that. So they're, you know, they're one of the great programs in college football. And they're doing a great job again this year. Fantastic on defense, and the quarterback is getting better each week. They're utilizing him in the run game more. I mean, they've got talent at every single position. They're extremely talented, and we will be going into a hostile environment. South Carolina didn't go up there in 2020 because of COVID, and it was an all-SEC schedule. So it's the first time South Carolina's played at Clemson since, I guess, what, 2018. So I know it'll be a great environment on Saturday, and we've played in some great environments in the SEC, and this will be another one on Saturday afternoon up there.
Coming off a great, great win. I can't wait to see this one as well. And like I said, Shane, normally, it's always great to have you on, but normally I would not go looking for you so quickly since it was only a few weeks back, but it was such an enormous win and such an enormous week. I had to do it again. So I appreciate you saying yes. Great to have you on the show. Thanks so much, and good luck this weekend.
No, you got it. Honored to be on with you. Appreciate you having me, and happy Thanksgiving to you and all your listeners as well. Thanks.
You too, Shane. Thanks so much. Really appreciate you. Shane Beamer, again, 63-38. Over fifth-ranked Tennessee. And it was not that long ago that we were talking to Josh Heupel about the dream season for the Vols. And now look at South Carolina. They just won that game, and if they could go into Clemson and find a way to get it done right there, I mean, to Shane Beamer's point, you all have an opportunity to change the narrative of this program forever in 2 weeks. And he's not wrong, but that is a tall task. Tremendous challenge, but an amazing opportunity. It's good to be talking some South Carolina football again. All right, so we're open right now. Phone lines, no more guests for the rest of this program. So you can give me a call right now, 1-800-636-8686. Small business owners, do you want to know the secret to navigating the employee retention credit? Just trust in Omega Accounting Solutions to help you recover any payroll tax overpayments that you may have made during the pandemic. You may even be eligible to receive up to $26,000 per employee. And listen, if you have between 5 and 500 employees, you may qualify. Do the math. 26K times that. And it's easy to find out. All you have to do is make a 10-minute phone call and get your ERC consultation free of charge and find out if you qualify or not. It really is that simple. In fact, the date from onboarding to filing is only 1 month. CPAs and payroll companies even turn to Omega for ERC tax guidance. They're that knowledgeable and they are that efficient. They've got over 15 years of experience in financial management, business leadership, and corporate strategy combined. So you know you can count on Omega every step of the way to take advantage of this exclusive small business tax credit. Or if you have any specific ERC questions, call Omega Accounting Solutions at 800-704-2000 or go to OmegaTaxCredits.com before the filing window closes or the funds run out. 800-704-2000 or go to Omega Tax Credits.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Clones, listen up. Not all beef jerky is the same. Old Trapper's original old-fashioned. Teriyaki, hot and spicy, and peppered all come in 4-ounce bags. So you can sample different flavors to find the best one for you. Ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef? All right, so one of the things I admire about the staff, one of the things I admire. And basically, when I put the XR4 Ti together, this is something that we talk about. And I feel pretty strongly about this. I care about you deeply as an individual. I do. But we have a job to do. We do. Do not drag your baggage to work. If you had a bad day, a bad weekend, a bad week, you're having a bad life, you can't wear that. You can't bring that here. You know why? The listeners don't care. They're coming to us to get away from things that are bothering them. You have to understand that. So I'm looking at Chalk, and I don't know anything different. Chalk, my EP, Tommy. He's fine. He's good. He doesn't wear that stuff. But I could tell something was a little bit off. Tommy, let me get you to pick up the earbuds for a minute and jump on. Now, you came from the East Coast. You've been here. You've been loving life, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Have you? Now, you don't live in L.A. proper. We don't broadcast in L.A., so we're not in L.A. per se. But before this weekend, had you had an official L.A. moment or one of those, now I get it, I hate L.A. moments, or I hate this about L.A.?
Pretty much no. I was trying to rack my brain after what we're about to talk about to see if there was anything that compares. There isn't. No, I haven't.
All right, so we're actually getting to something. Now, before we get to what happened this weekend, let's go back one weekend prior. You went and saw UCLA, Arizona. That was your first UCLA football game, right?
That's right. My first Rose Bowl experience, and the Rose Bowl has been a bucket list item my whole life. I've always dreamed of going to the actual game, but just going to any game there. So it was like a huge expectation, and then I thought it delivered. No, the result wasn't great for the Bruins. However, it was an amazing experience.
But you spend your whole life as a sports fan, somebody on the East Coast, seeing the Rose Bowl on TV, the parade, the games, the pageantry, the whole thing. Did it live up to the hype?
It absolutely did. And it was a little bit different, too, because it was a night game. So, like, you know, you didn't have that day into night thing. It was just straight up night, but it was very cool. Everything about it, I had an amazing time. It was one of the single best experiences I've ever had at a sporting event.
All right, so you're high as a kite. You're feeling it. Wait, did you just say one of the best experiences you've ever had at a sporting event?
Period. Exactly, yes.
All right, so that's an amazing statement. As somebody who's in the business, I would venture to guess if that was, in fact, one of the best experiences you have ever had at a sporting event, what then happened this past weekend probably rates as one of the worst experiences you've ever had at a sporting event. Going to that same house.
That's right.
What happened?
It follows that after having that great time last weekend, I said, why don't I just go back? This is like the best UCLA-USC game of my lifetime. Why would we not just go back? I know the drill. I know the place. Let's get tickets and go back. It's a little bit pricey, but we can get in and sit. I think I actually bought tickets to the second to last row.
Did you
row.
Just say, I know the drill and I know the place?
You
do understand that UCLA v. Arizona is not quite the same drill as UCLA v. USC.
I had something of an idea of that.
No, so you didn't. You just said, I know the drill, I know the place.
Yeah, well, I was overconfident.
Okay.
But we left more time. We showed up. We got tickets. We went back on Saturday.
We showed up. Who?
My fiance and I, who also works in sports. So big sports fan. She was very excited for this also.
Did she go the week before?
She did.
And had as good of a time.
And had as good a time.
So you guys can't wait to run it back.
Exactly. We were all for it. It was our big Saturday date. And we gave up watching a bunch of other games to go do this. Like, we gave up. Usually we're just watching all kinds of college football on Saturdays.
This is some crazy bucket stuff right now, you and the fiance.
That's right.
Heading back. So what happened?
So we got there about an hour and 20 minutes before kickoff, around 3:40 local time, which clearly was not really
enough. In other words, 5 hours late.
Yes, and that was the problem. And then we got stuck in Rose Bowl gridlock for over 2 hours before we finally realized that there was not going to be a spot. There was not going to be a spot anywhere near the bowl. There was not going to be a spot in any of the shuttle parking lots. And we actually ate the tickets and drove back to
Orange
County.
What was your parking plan, and what were you being told as you tried to get to a place?
So there's this golf course right behind the Rose Bowl, and they park people on for this game all on the golf course. So our plan was just to go, you know, take as long as it took, wait in line, and go park on the golf course wherever we got in. And so I could tell pretty quickly, having been in some really bad New York City traffic situations, that, like, we were not moving. Like, we were not feeding into anywhere. There were no spots. So I was suspicious that there was an issue. But every single parking person, every single parking attendant the whole way down this golf course promised us that it's just at the end. Just keep going to the end. You'll get in. It's
You're
slow.
A savvy New Yorker. You
get
bought
there,
that?
Get there. Yes, I did. I admit that I did. But I also didn't really have a choice. We were stuck in gridlock traffic. There was no turning around. There was no going anywhere else. And there were a couple times when the lane right next to us got to just pull over and start parking. And where they said, you know, there were a bunch of no parking signs along this road. But that lane got to pull over and park. So we figured it was going to be our turn soon. Eventually, it's going to be our turn. We're going to get to pull over and park. But no, there never was a lot. There never was a spot. They sped us out at the end. Yes, no, no, no. And then they sent us to two different shuttle lots that were both full. And at that point, it was like midway through the second quarter. We were multiple miles away from the bowl. And I had one very irritated.
I was just going to say, who took it worse? Who was in the worst mood between the two of you?
Definitely her. I mean, I was miserable. And I would have left the car on the side of the road.
Was she blaming the situation?
She was kind of blaming the situation. I mean, clearly I was the noob that led us into this, but she was blaming the situation. Because again, we were lied to our face directly multiple times. And if they had just told us the lots are full, you need to figure something else out, we could have used that time to try. But again, by the time we realized there really was never going to be a spot.
Yeah, there's no sport in that. They wanted to wreck your night.
100%. And they successfully did.
And they did. So you never actually made it to the game.
It's a nightmare. It's going to be a recurring nightmare for the rest of my life, that driving around Rose Bowl gridiron in the dark, stressing about making a kickoff and pass kickoff and never finding that spot. I'm telling you, I'm going to be having that recurring stress dream for the rest of my life.
Here's what I have to say about that. Number one, yes, you're right. That will stick to you. I'm not going to sit here and say to you, you know what, that you'll never think about that ever again. Yes, you will. You'll wake up in the middle of the night in cold sweats. And by the way, she's not going to let you forget that either.
Yes, no.
But in your defense, you are far from the first person that has ever happened to. Now, were you so pissed that you couldn't even listen to the game on the way home, or did you?
Exactly. No, we didn't turn on the game until we got all the way home. I think there were 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter, maybe five when
you didn't miss anything.
Finally got home.
You didn't miss anything. Just one of the best games ever.
I know.
All right, so, but here's the good news, dude. There's always a silver lining in all this. You got to go to last night's game at SoFi, right?
That was the plan. We were going to do both games, but then after Saturday was such a disaster, she was like, no, we're not going to another football game.
Why? Yeah. Why would she be upset about
Unless
that?
Unless you know what you're doing this time. Do you know what you're doing? Have you gone to a football game at SoFi? Unfortunately, the answer to that is no still. So,
ouch, dude. And by the way, you did not in any way try to push back on that, did you?
No, I earned it. I deserved it.
Well, you got one great week, one horrible week, but at least now you've got an L.A. story.
I didn't even want to tell you. It's so embarrassing. And I know, like, outside of L.A., it almost makes no sense. Like, you couldn't find any other way.
Dude, but I'm an L.A. native. It's not embarrassing. I mean,
yeah, you know.
Literally,
you know.
This has happened to all of us who've spent more than 10 minutes here. I'm only surprised because you're somebody who gets out and about and appreciates the SoCal lifestyle. I'm surprised something like this has not happened to you sooner.
I guess I should be happy.
Stay in
that.
Your bubble. No, yeah. What you should do is stay in your bubble. Stay in your lane. Stay in your bubble. Never venture outside your neighborhood.
Believe me, when we were driving home in the dark.
Yeah. Or leave, dude, I'm telling you.
Driving home in the dark, not listening to the game, saying we're never leaving again.
Yeah, but
we're
I bet you guys had a pleasant Orange conversation. I bet there was no tension in the car.
Zero.
I bet that was fine, too.
Oh, it was wonderful. My favorite.
Has she, has she spoken to you since?
Yeah, she finally got over it, like, I don't know, somewhere around halftime of the game last night.
How'd you make it right?
And she realized.
Did time heal that wound, or did you have to make
that right?
I think
she realized, I want to be at this game. You were right. These are both amazing games. We would have had an incredible weekend if we could have just parked the car, but we couldn't.
Well,
so.
The good news is, dude, I'm sure the JTP will pick you up. I'm sure they'll be very understanding and pick you up.
Like their number one trait, right? Being understanding.
That's what they do.
Exactly.
They're known for their empathy. They're known for their understanding. Empathy,
KB.
Sympathy. Oh, they're there for you. Trust me.
Keyboard bags, yeah. That's
keyboard
how they got
bags.
Their empathy is how they got their nickname.
All right, dude. Well, thank you very much. Sorry that happened. Thank you for sharing that. But let that be a message to you and anybody else. For a game like that, you leave the day before. You don't leave 5 hours early. You leave the day before. And then you'll be all right. All right, dude. Nice job. Sorry about that. But I'm not cracking him for that, because if you don't understand L.A. and you're a transplant and pretty much everybody not named me, it will happen, especially on a day like that, especially going to that stadium. And of course, they all kept saying, no, keep it moving, as if you have any choice. You're stuck. You're in gridlock. You can't really get out. You have to believe in what you're being told. You have to believe in the dream. You have to believe there is a spot, because there really is no way out once you're in it. All right, so there you go. Chalk had his first welcome to L.A. moment after all this time. Dude, no. I was just shaking his head. Dude, no. I was raising his eyebrows. No, I'm not. Just play along, Albie. Just play along, dude. 1-800-636-8686. My man. Albie doesn't actually live that far from the Rose Bowl. You know, dude, if you had just gone to Albie's house, he could have charged you $50 to park. $50 to park in Alvy's parking lot, and he could have shuttled you over there. Why don't you just ask? How easy would that have been? Alvy does not live that far from there. He's already got a sign on his front lawn saying $50. And as you get closer to the game, $100 for parking. And he could have taken you over in the shuttle, the Alvin DeLauro shuttle. All right, let me get some reaction quickly. And Mike, 90255, took me 2.5 hours to get from Whittier to my parking spot, arrived at kickoff time, left at 2:30 p.m. Yeah, but you know, Mike. Chalk didn't know. Now he does. Now he does. You've got it down to a science, you know. Hell, you got your zipper right there in your handle, you know. Stucknut's in. Chalk turned the car around and went straight to the plastic surgeon to experience another L.A. tradition. It's too expensive, dude. Maybe some Botox. Maybe some Juvederm. But not an out-and-out carve job. Brent in PC, this is Rich. This has got to make you feel good, Chalk. Brent in PC tweets, quote, Chalk is an idiot. That's the tweet. Thing is, he's not. This is a different sort of town. And it's a different idiot sort of traffic. Kicker. Even if you grew up or worked in Manhattan for a year, 10 years, LA traffic is a different breed. You have to understand that. Nick in Iowa. I'm sure somebody in Iowa weighing in is going to make you feel better, Chalk. Chalk wouldn't have missed the game if he had any fun in him and left early enough to tailgate at least 6 hours before kickoff. Yeah, I get it, Nick, but, okay. Chalk, how do you respond to that? If you had any fun in you and left early enough to tailgate at least 6 hours before that, what's your response to that?
Nick is exactly right.
Okay, fair enough. I will not defend you on that. Nick, you're right. We'll come back with hour number three. You can hit any of these things. I've got thoughts on college football. I've got thoughts on the Lions. Don't look now. He's got the longest winning streak in the NFC right now. My thoughts on all of the above, and the phone lines are open, 1-800-636-8686.